small biz America.
The brain.
Our guest on this edition is a leading sales strategist, a thought leader in B2B sales, author of a best-selling book, and in-demand sales speaker who provides much-needed wake-up calls to sales organizations and a passionate spokesperson for turning the sales force into a competitive advantage. Jill Conrath created SellingToBigCompanies.com to help her clients understand what succeeding in sales requires and then help them do just that. Joining us on the line from St. Paul, Minnesota, to tell us more is author of Selling to Big Companies, Jill Conrath. Jill, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So to lay the groundwork for this segment, what led you to creating SellingToBigCompanies.com?
What led me to create it was a twofold type of thing. First of all, my own business crashed around the last dot-com bomb, and I had to restart my own business from scratch, which was rather humbling if you are a sales expert. But I had two large corporations. I was working with multiple divisions in these companies, and suddenly Wall Street spoke and said, thou shalt have better earnings. And they cut all external resources just across the board, just like that.
Wow.
And so I literally was out of work. And I had, before that, I had 5 months booked out in advance. So that was the first thing that happened. And what I needed to do after that is I needed to get meetings with new corporate clients. And what I found is that I was functionally unable to get in to see people anymore using the strategies that I had always used. It was like voicemail had taken over the corporate environment, and it was far worse than any gatekeepers that salespeople typically encounter.
Wow.
Far worse.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the first thing that happened. And at first, it really depressed me, and I thought maybe I'm over the hill, and you know, I've seen better days, and maybe I'll go back to waitressing again.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of thoughts that I was going through. And then I started talking to a lot of people and realized that it wasn't just me who was facing these problems, that everybody that I knew that was in, especially in the small and emerging business community, the growing business community, entrepreneurs, they were also struggling with the same problem. How do we get our foot in the door to meet with these corporate decision makers when nobody answers the phone, all calls roll to voicemail, and nobody calls you back? So when I discovered it wasn't just me, that it was other people, and I stopped taking it personally, and I said, I have got to figure out how to do this, because this is a huge challenge. And I spent almost a whole year experimenting with different strategies and techniques till I found a process that was duplicatable and repeatable and teachable to other people.
Yeah.
And then once I did that, I looked around at my friends still who were, you know, these growing businesses and saw how much they were struggling, and I said, I've got to write this down for them. So I did. And that's how I created Selling to Big Companies, a website. That's how I created the book. It was all for those smaller businesses, emerging businesses, medium-sized businesses that couldn't afford my expertise because my work was with the larger corporations, but desperately needed the knowledge that I possessed. And so I put it all in there.
Very cool. Jill, why do big companies want to work with small businesses?
Well, that's a good question, and a lot of small businesses are absolutely convinced that they wouldn't want to work with them. But the truth of the matter is large corporations have a lot of reasons for working with smaller companies, and just some of the reasons off the top of my head. A smaller company may fill a niche that they need. I mean, there may be some expertise that is a specific niche that the bigger corporations don't offer because it may not be profitable for the large corporation, which, by the way, is how I got all my work. I competed against a lot of big training companies. And if I tried to go head-on against those training companies, it was an impossibility in many cases until they got to know me, because they looked at me and they said, if we work with you, Jill, it's like if you got hit by a Mack truck, our whole sales training program and curriculum is gone, so we can't afford to work with you.
Sure.
But what I did is I created a way of working with them that I never even competed with the big companies at all. So I took my same expertise, which was sales training, and I worked on product launch sales training, which is how to help a company sell new products when they came out. And then that was not a profitable niche for my competitors because it was all custom design, but it was something that I could truly excel in and get my foot in the door and get a lot of work. So that's one reason. You can provide a specialty that a bigger company will totally overlook, a bigger competitor will totally overlook and or not even think about just because it's not as profitable for them. Another reason is that smaller companies are far more responsive and they can make decisions very, very quickly. And that makes a huge difference to a corporation on a lot of things because they need they need change fast. In a smaller company, you don't have to go through the bureaucracy of working with it. But, you know, there's a lot of talented people out there in small businesses or in free agency who are finding great opportunities there. And the other thing, too, I would say is sometimes bigger companies don't want to staff up for project-type work. And so if somebody is in the services business, perhaps doing graphic design or marketing collateral or some, you know, IT some skill set and not expertise, they don't want to add to their payroll. They would rather hire a small company to do this project and say goodbye to the person or smaller business afterwards and let them go their way than to add staff. So you do feel a need that they have that is a one-time need, but it's not what they want to staff to.
Got it. Not in a permanent way.
Not in a permanent way. And by the way, you can build a lifetime of projects working in big companies because, you know, these projects arise and they don't want to staff. And there's so many places to go in a big company.
Jill, what is it that most small business owners, let's say the folks that you typically consult with or talk to, what do they not get or misunderstand about how they can sell, the process of selling to larger companies?
There's a couple things that they don't get. First of all, they have many of them don't have any comprehension of what's going on in the corporate environment and how crazy busy the corporate decision makers are. They have no idea that this poor person that they're trying to reach gets 168 emails a day, or is in meetings for 7 hours and has 40 or 50 hours worth of work sitting on his or her desk right at that moment in time. And the reality of it is if any of us are that busy, we keep everything away that may interrupt and take our time. And so the person on the outside who doesn't see the corporate world has no comprehension of how this crazy busy mentality and the desperate need of these corporate decision makers to protect their time at all costs. And they don't need a salesperson to come in and tell them about the product or service. Everything they need is online. And so the traditional functional use of a salesperson was to introduce a company's products or services to the organization and to see if there might be needs. But believe me, it is not a good use of a decision maker's time to invite somebody in for that purpose. So then that ties in then with this other thing that small business owners are really missing the boat on, and that is that a corporate decision maker could care less or couldn't care less, I'm not sure which is grammatically correct, about the product or service of the company. And that's hard for small business owners because whatever it is that they're selling, if it's a product, service, or solution, it is something that they are so proud of and they're excited about, and it's a part of who they are because they've invested their whole life to create this thing.
Absolutely.
And so their own personal desire to share their baby that they've created with people, they want to take their baby out and just show people and have, and they expect people to go, oh, what a beautiful baby you have here. But honest to goodness, the corporate decision maker looks at this baby they've created and he or she doesn't even care if it's a beautiful baby. You know, it's irrelevant. It's like, well, what does this baby do for me?
Sure, sure.
And that's all they care about. And so corporate decision makers want to talk the language of business. Small business owners want to explain their products and services and showcase them and talk about their differentiators and how unique they are.
Yeah, really pointing to this inner sort of their emotional connection to the company they've created, which has nothing to do with the motivation of the corporate their contact within a corporation.
Actually, one of the things I talk with people about is that it is the short attention span of the corporate decision maker, and he or she, and remember, I told you how many emails that they get every single day, and phone calls, it's the same too. But he or she sits with their finger on the delete button, and they're ready to delete a salesperson or an entrepreneur. They're ready to delete that person the first moment in time when they think that they're being sold. And so if somebody calls up and says, hi, this is Jill Conrath, I'm an account executive at XYZ Corporation, the decision maker presses delete right then and there, that fast.
Yeah, it's their default position because of the workload they're dealing with, isn't
it, Joe? Absolutely. Oh, it's like, oh, that's a salesperson. Delete.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
Yeah.
And so the key is that the conversation of the seller needs to fundamentally change. And it needs to be so they don't sound like they're selling. And let me just say, the typical conversation goes like this. Hi, Bob. This is Jill Conrath calling. I'm the account executive with Steinway's, you know, Steinway graphics, Steinway prop, you know, piano, whatever it is.
You got it.
We specialize in offering a full range of services for all your blankety-blank needs. I'd love to come in and set up a time to find out, you know, how you're handling these things in your business and share with you what Steinway can do for you. And I'd be glad to meet at your earliest convenience. And it's a very gracious, nice approach to the customer, but everything about that nice, gracious approach is wrong. Everything.
Wow. And can we take that thing apart you just did? I know you may have improvised it, but is that something we can do now?
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Phase one. Hi, Bob. This is Jill Conrath calling. I'm an account executive with Steinway Graphics. Okay. Right away, right there, they got salesperson. Delete. Now, if you still keep them listening, the next thing is we specialize in. And again, a salesperson thinks that that is the right thing to say because they think it's important for the company to know what their
right.
specialties are.
Sure, makes sense.
But what they usually try to do, and this is a real faux pas that small business owners make, is they usually try to make themselves sound big. And so they'll want to say we offer a full range of services for all your needs in this area. And to a corporate decision maker, what they hear is they're not good at anything. They're not, you know, they don't have any specialty.
Mm.
And they want to deal with experts. They don't want to deal with somebody who's a small company who offers a full range of products or services. So it's like it's a positioning yourself as a jack of all trades as opposed to a master of none. And the second thing it is, it's clearly a sales call where I want to come in and pitch you as opposed to focus on your problems or your needs and issues. So again, we offer a full range of services for all your product and, you know, all your needs in this area.
Yeah.
And then the next line, I'd love to come in and talk with you, or I'd love to come in and explore your needs in this area.
Yeah.
And here we have this swamped decision maker who's supposed to take time to meet with this seller who would love to learn about their company so they can sell them.
Right.
Mean, like, delete, delete, delete. You know, that's a screaming delete, because time is their most precious commodity. And then they close by saying, I'd be glad to meet with you at your earliest convenience. And what that says to the corporate decision maker is this: what a loser. He hasn't got anything going on in his plate. He'll be here whenever I need him. He's not up here. I can't count on him to bring the expertise that I need.
How cool that you've gotten inside of what most small business owners feel is the right script.
Yes.
Quite fascinating, isn't it?
It's fundamentally it's fascinating because this is what everybody defaults to.
That's right.
It's so gracious and it's so nice, and they're doing it because they don't want to be salesy. And yet, from the corporate decision maker's perspective, it is the most salesy thing you can say.
We're visiting with Jill Conrath. She's the founder of Selling to Big Companies, also the author of the book by the same name, based in St. Paul, Minnesota. Great to have you here. All right, so we've talked about the script that doesn't work. What does work?
Well, if you're going into a big company, first of all, you need to realize that there is a price of admission. And what I mean by that is you have to do some things. You have to pay your dues before they will open the door and let you in. And here, from a sales perspective, it means, number one, first and foremost, that you must research their company. And you must understand what's going on in the corporation or in the business unit that you're going after or in the specific division within the business unit you're going after. Because if you're going after GE, that's so huge. But you could go after GE Fleet, which is a subset of one of their overall business units. So if you're going after GE Fleet, you need to research GE Fleet. And you need to find out how's their business doing, what are the challenges in their industry, what are their upcoming initiatives for this coming year, you know, where are they going directionally. You might need to know a little bit about what's happening in their industry and the trends in the industry and how it might be impacting them. And then the next thing you do is you have to think about aligning what you're going to say with the things that they're trying to achieve in the organization. And never, never, ever mention your product or service, because it's literally, truly irrelevant. And if you do say something about your product and service, what's going to happen is they're going to say, oh, we've already got that taken care of. We're working with XYZ company.
Right, so
You have to get rid of any conversation, and you have to plan a message that is about 20 seconds long. And it has to leave out all that gobbledygook mumbo-jumbo about, you know, we offer a unique, leading-edge, state-of-the-art, world-class, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And focus on the business issue. And then you have to plan to contact the corporate decision maker a minimum of 8 times. Minimum.
Really?
Now, the higher level you're calling in the organization, the more you have to call. Because it's now taking about 14 contacts to get to a C-level executive. And C-level, like chief sales officer, chief marketing officer, chief IT.
Yeah, yeah. Those that are in small business might say to themselves, wow, 8, 14 times, aren't I pesty? And what do you say to them when they suggest that?
Aren't I pesty?
Yeah, in other words, is this just something that it just needs to be done in order to close, in order to move in?
You just need to look that it's just simply part of the process. Most people will try 2 or 3 times, and they will think, well, they must not be interested. They didn't call me back.
That's what I'm pointing to.
Right. But the truth of the matter is, they didn't call you back because you're one of, you know, 25 phone calls they received from outside vendors
right.
that day.
So it's not about you. In other words, the small business is living in their own small business. They have a small staff.
Right.
They feel like it's all about them when it really has nothing to
it
do with them.
Nothing to do. Now, their message will be deleted, and they'll be wasting every single touch with this person, whether it's, you know, like by email, voicemail, et cetera,
right.
if they don't clean up their message and have a very value proposition-based message that focuses on the outcomes that the company provides from, you know, that customers get from using this company's product or service.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can do 15 touches the wrong way and still never get in because they sound like a self-serving salesperson.
Okay.
Which nobody wants.
It's great stuff. Anything else about the process, and then I'm going to move to some of the activities you're providing at sellingtobigcompanies.com.
I do a lot of teleseminars for the small business community because they need information, and they need good information. And there's a lot of, what I've found is that there's a lot of stuff out there on how to get into companies and how to behave when you're there, but so many people don't understand the corporate environment and the difference in selling to the corporate environment versus selling to small businesses or selling to mom and pa.
Mm-hmm.
And so I continually offer a number of things to people. I have a free newsletter that goes to 25,000 people from over 88 countries around the world.
Fabulous.
So, you know, they can sign up for that. When they sign up for that at sellingtobigcompanies.com, they also get a free sales call planning guide, which tells them how to actually plan their first meeting with the client.
Ooh, this is good stuff. Jill Conrath, thanks so much. The website, www.sellingtobigcompanies.com. The book, Selling to Big Companies. Our guest has been Jill Conrath. She's the founder of all of the above. Jill, thanks for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Hey, truly my pleasure.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.